You know, guys, we've been going through the letter to the Philippians, and we've been focusing on really the whole issue of getting beneath the surface. And we've talked about what being on the surface is. That's where a lot of folks in the church are today. It's kind of like Christianity is nothing more than the 1 hour of church on Sunday morning, or the moment or two that you pray before a meal, or few moments that you pray on your own. But then the rest of your life is kind of like whatever. And so you never really go deeper in your Christian walk. And so we've been talking about living beneath the surface, moving beneath the surface. So last week, we started off in chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, and we saw four realities, four implied realities that you and I need to grasp. And with those four implied realities, he gave us four things to work on. And you listened last week, and maybe you'd made some decisions. Okay, I'm going to live on those realities. I'm going to do those things that Paul is talking about here in the letter. But you thought about that last week, but as you went through the week, it wasn't that easy, was it? In fact, it was pretty difficult. In fact, you found it to be a struggle. And that's what it is. A lot of times the Christian life is a struggle, trying to do what God calls you to do. And a lot of times you and I have these thoughts that happen in our minds. And so I want you to look, if you've got the notes on the back of the bulletin, I want you to fill these out. I'm going to talk about 2 points from the struggle that we have. The first one is this. We feel we have to figure out how to do what God calls us to do. We feel that we have to figure out how to do what God calls us to do. It's like, okay, God, I know you told me to do this, but now it's me trying to figure it out. And so we get defeated by that because a lot of us, we don't really know what that means. So like, for instance, let's look together at Philippians. Look at what he says there, verses 3 and 4. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each one esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. That sounds good, George, but how do I do that? Seems pretty simplistic. I'm trying. The struggle is And we wrestle with, because it's like, okay, God, you're telling me to do this, but I got to figure it out on my own. And that's a lot of times the struggles in our walk is when God communicates something to us, we often think he's kind of like, tell us, go do this, and it's move a mountain, but he hadn't told you how to do it. And so we struggle with trying to figure it out on our own. Here's the second thing I want you to see. We struggle with the thought of putting others before ourselves. Because the two things that he told us last week of the four is that we need to quit being selfish and we need to think of others as we're thinking about ourselves. And so that, my friends, is a huge struggle because I can already hear, because I've said it myself, well, if I kind of look out for other people and if I put them before myself, who's going to think about me? If I come to church and it's not about me, George, and it's about coming and serving others, who's going to serve me? Those are natural questions. Who's going to look out for me? I understand what Jesus wants me to do. I understand the struggle there, and I'm trying to figure that out, but I keep coming back to this one question. Okay, I'm supposed to think about others and put others before myself, but who's going to worry about me? That's a natural human question, isn't it? And we all struggle with it. Now, here's what I want to tell you, because I want to open your mind a little bit to the reality of God and his care for you. So here's the point. If you want to write this down, you can. When God tells you to do something in his word, when he gives you a command, he always will tell you how to do it. When God tells you, this is what I want you to do, focus on this. He's not going to leave you to figure it out on your own, because the fact of the matter is he knows us. He knows our bent. We're always bent towards selfishness, right? Is anybody here not selfish? Could you please identify yourself so we can laugh with you? We're all selfish, right? We're selfish when we think we're not selfish. The most extreme example of selfishness is Christmas. What do you mean? Oh, here's your gift. What did you give me? We give gifts anticipating what we're getting, right? So the reality is that when God calls you to do something, he always tells you how to do it. So look again with me at verses 3 and 4, because when you look at that, it sounds good, but how do I do it? Look with me, 3 and 4, that nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Wow, that's wonderful, George. I like to do that, but I don't know how to do it. Or, I like to do that, but who's going to take care of me? Remember what I just told you. I had you write it down. When God calls us to do something, he tells us how to do it. So now we come to verses 5 through 11, where he tells you how to do it. So look with me. We're going to look at these verses together. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Here's what we're going to do, folks. We're going to look, first of all, the key to the action. He's calling us to do these things, verse 3 and 4. How we're able to do it is by what verse 5 tells us. That's the key to the action. And then we're going to see that Jesus is our example. We're going to see how he's our example. And see, what we need to do is when he calls us to do these things, well, let's look what the key to the action is. You'll see what I'm saying. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. First thing I want you to see here. We're called to develop a new mindset. We're called to develop a new mindset. You and I need to change the way that we think about things. So when we look at verses 3 and 4, because our natural bent is selfishness, we're going to naturally ask, well, who's going to think about me? That comes from our old mindset. And what he's saying to us is, look, you need to let the mind of Christ be in you. You need to have a new way of thinking. Because here's the thing, and this is true with no matter what your struggle is, if you're trying to overcome something in your life, a lot of times you have to change the way you think first before you can change your action. Do you understand what I'm saying? You have to change the way you think first before you can change your action. So, for instance, if you're struggling with an addiction issue, a lot of times you've got to change the way you think. Because unless the thinking changes, the actions aren't going to follow. Yes, you can change the actions for a moment. Have you ever seen people who do that? They'll change for the moment, but they always what?